We're going to look at God's Word in Psalm 27. Psalm 27 in the Old Testament, Book of Psalms. We're looking at the whole of the Psalm today. And often when I'm preaching, I'll take a verse or maybe two verses, but we're going to consider the whole of the Psalm because Psalms are actually units to be read through in their entirety if possible. Now, we know that Psalm 119 is the longest Psalm, 176 verses. So that's a long Psalm to read through, but it's certainly worth doing because it's a whole story. It's a wonderful description. If you're ever wanting to learn something more, read Psalm 119 in its entirety and just ask God to teach you through that what he wants you to learn and know. Psalm 27 is much shorter. It's got 14 verses, not 176. And we can look at it very easily in the time that we have here in our service. It's entitled A Song of Faith. Well, that's the title I've put to it because I think that that's the message that's coming across. David, the psalm writer, is sharing the message of faith in God. Now, sometimes when you read passages of the Bible or maybe even hear them being read, something happens. It's like, wow, I didn't notice that before. I've heard it, I've read it, but this is new. Something springs out of the page and grasps your attention. Well, when that happens, what I would like you to do is thank God for that, because is that not just more evidence that God's word is living and true? It's reaching out. It's God's way to reach out to you and to say, this is my word for you today. The word for you today. The thing that grasped your attention surely is God saying, listen, here, there's something for you to consider. When we're reading Psalm 27, I pray that this is going to be the word of God for you today. Now, what happens when that happens? We waken up. Yes, we waken up from our lethargy, maybe from our stagnancy in our religious experience, and we're brought to new, vital Christianity. Not that it wasn't there before, it's just that we've let it dumb down, we've let it dull, and we need to come back to God and ask him to transform us and renew that initial first love that we had for him. Surely Psalm 27 is calling us to that today. It's a song of faith, therefore it's a tool. What's it going to do? If you're a believer today, a song of faith like Psalm 27 is going to encourage you. It's going to confirm where you are as a Christian. It's going to call you to look to God again. If you're not a believer here today as yet, this is going to ask you to consider seriously what this person of faith has in their life, and is this something that you can afford to let go? And of course, from our perspective as Christians, it's essential to have faith in our lives, faith in God. So we're going to consider it in a few ways. First of all, we see faith and light. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The psalm writer here, he's relaying a basic principle of what faith in God implies. So he's going to strengthen our faith by these words. That would be the intention. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Literally, he's saying this Yahweh, this Jehovah, God. Now, Yahweh is a name of God which tells us that he is relating. He's a relational God. He relates to you. There's personal connection with Yahweh, with God. It's by his grace, by his mercy that we have that possibility because he is a holy and a just God. But he is merciful to us and he reaches out to us and he is personal. It also tells us in that name that he is eternal. Remember Moses, he's confronted with the voice that comes from the burning bush. He can't see any way that bush is not getting consumed, but the bush burned in the wilderness, yet it was not consumed. It didn't burn up. The presence of God was there, and a voice came from that bush to Moses. He told him, "It's holy ground you're on, Moses. Take off your sandals." And Moses eventually plucks up the courage, and he says, "But who shall I say is sending me to Egypt?" In other words, he's saying, I need to know who you are. I need to know who you are. God, the Lord, Yahweh, says, "I am that I am." This is the word Yahweh, the being one, the eternal one, the always existing one, the one who always is and will be. And the psalm writer, David, says, "This one is my light. This one is my salvation." Now, when we see these terms like light and face, the light of God, the face of God, so to speak, these are terms that are employed to convey the idea of salvation, his power to save. Much like we have the mighty hand and the strong arm of the Lord, these are terms to help us understand how God is powerful to save. So the psalm writer begins and he says, "Listen, let's not go any further than this without grasping this truth. The personal, eternal God, he is the one who has saved me. He is the one that transforms. He is my light. He is my salvation." What a wonderful title then to begin with in the psalm, a psalm that begins with a focus on God. Then we see that light implies positivity. It's very important that we know all this, but it sums up truth, sums up joy, it sums up good and vitality. So when we see light, we think of what does light do to transform what's round about it? In a dark place, light transforms it. We've looked at that in the past. But we use the English phrase, and some of you are maybe learning English, so these phrases are difficult for you to grasp. But this phrase, for example, when a person receives good news, we might often say, "Her face lit up with joy when she heard the news." Now, we know that there wasn't some internal switch and some fluorescent light started to emit, but we know what is being said there. There's something that shone forth from her. She heard good news. It changed her appearance. Her face was changed. Maybe good news, maybe relief. There was change. Her face lit up. "The Lord is my light." The light of the world in the New Testament is Jesus. This is the same Lord. Now, he comes into our lives and takes us from darkness to light. There's transformation. And if you're a Christian here today, you can rejoice in this truth, that you do not dwell under the dominion of darkness. You are a citizen of heaven. You are on a pilgrimage, and during this pilgrimage, you walk in light. You walk in the light of Jesus. The Lord is your light. You can rejoice in that. You can have joy in that. You can have peace in that knowledge. And what it prompts us to do is to persevere. It tells us, because the Lord is my light, I'm going to keep on walking forward. I'm going to keep on pushing ahead. Because the Lord is my light, I'm going to kick back against all these fears and doubts that they belong to the realm of darkness. They are not for me. I have the Lord who is my light. I do not need to fear. What does the psalm writer say? He says, "Whom shall I fear?" He's not asking people to say, "Oh, well, you should fear this person and this and all that." He's saying, "There's no one faced with the power of God who is the Lord, my light and my salvation. There is no one that I can fear. I may have moments of being afraid, but I will not fear when I remember the Lord is my light." Now, this is a gentle reminder right at the beginning of the psalm. It's a gentle reminder to all who hear that when we have faith in God, He is that light for us. When we have faith in God, we have our fears that are driven out. He becomes our salvation. He is the rescuer. He is the place of refuge. When we're being afraid, we have to remember fear is not for the realm of light. But those experiences are to point us to God. Whenever you go through the distress, whenever you go through the dark valley, whenever you struggle and you wonder, where is this heading? Why am I going through this? What are you being taught in that experience? You're being taught, look to the Lord who is your light. Look to Him. I remember as a child, we were brought up with a King James version of the Bible. And we had old psalms that we would sing. The Lord is my light and my saving health. Saving health. The health of my soul. The safety of my soul. The Lord is salvation. My salvation. To whom are you entrusting your soul this morning? What safety have you got for your soul, that which continues after death of the body? The psalm writer, David, he says, the Lord is my salvation, the safety of my soul. Why is this? Because the Christian can say, God has entered into a covenant arrangement. He has made a promise to be our God. He has entered a covenant as our Savior. We are in His hands. I am safe in Him. I need not fear. And because we have the Lord as our salvation, we can expect His protection. So the underlying truths that come across here, we have comfort in God. Is your heart troubled today? Maybe you're a Christian and you've let the cares and the troubles of this world overwhelm you and your heart is troubled. What is the psalm writer saying to you this morning? He's saying, the Lord is your light and your salvation. You do not need to fear. Let that truth accompany you. And then he develops it. He said, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh. What a gruesome picture, isn't it? In other words, to consume him, just to get rid of him completely. When my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Why? It's because the Lord is the strength of my life, he says. He puts the strength of God in whom he trusts. He sets that up against his opponents. And he's saying, listen, I have no strength to cope with this. I will fail. Who am I against 1,000, 10,000 against me? Who am I but with God who is the strength of my life? What is he saying? He's saying, here is the strength. Here is the way to overcome the opponents, the enemies, the evil. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's saying, I'm not looking to myself. No way. Been there, done that, and don't have the t-shirt. I'm looking to God. He is the strength of my life. The second point is that we see faith and sanctuary in verses 4 to 6. We sang these words in an earlier song. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and so on. So, what is the psalm writer saying? He's saying, I have believed in God, but I'm living out that faith now. You know, becoming a Christian is not just a moment in time when you make a decision. It's a moment in time when you make a decision and you continue living out that faith decision in your life. What is the faith decision here? The psalm writer, David, he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's talking to us about communion with God. It's holy communion. It's not a piece of bread and a little cup of wine. It's about relationship with God. It's about coming to God. This is what I seek. This is what I'm searching after. This is what I'm longing for every day of my life. I'm going to look for this. I'm going to ask the Lord. This is what I seek. One thing, in other words, above all others. This is the one thing that I need. Do you remember in the New Testament where Jesus comes into the house, there's a big crowd of people, and there's Martha and Mary. I love Martha. Martha, her gift was hospitality. She sees all the people in the house, and Jesus is there. And what does Martha think? Oh, I've got to make a good meal and provide for all the people, and there's so much to do, and I'll be busy all the time in the kitchen, but I'm doing this for Jesus and for all the people here. I, Martha's heart was so good. She just wanted to provide. We don't want to be critical of Martha. She just wanted to serve. But in this episode, service wasn't what was required. So Martha doesn't get this because she sees Mary. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to every word. Her attention absolutely on Jesus. And Martha comes in and she's so annoyed because you know how we get? We get annoyed. We get annoyed with other Christians. They should be doing something else. And Martha comes in and she's so annoyed. She doesn't get annoyed with Mary. She gets annoyed with Jesus. And she says, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm so busy in the kitchen and here's Mary and you don't even care enough to tell her to go and tell Mary where she should be helping me in the kitchen. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're occupied with so many things. You're so busy. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't say there isn't a time to be busy. He says, but Mary has realized what is most required just now. Mary knows the one thing that is needful. And it's just to be at my feet, to listen to the word of God, to pay attention and look unto Jesus. That is the one thing. And guess what? David in the Old Testament, even though he didn't know Jesus in this way, he was a believer of the Old Testament times, he's saying the same thing. One thing, this could have been Mary's song. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What has been said here? Faith leads us to submit to God. Faith leads us to sit at his feet, to worship him, to look for opportunities, to enjoy communion with him, to be fed by his word, to dwell in his house. Isn't to come to a church building as such. It's to be near to God. It's to be in this relationship. And there we find satisfaction. We find delight. What does the psalm writer say? He says, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Did you realize that your God is beautiful? Your Lord is beautiful. The beauty of his holiness, the beauty of his being, his goodness, his truth, all that is God. Have we missed out that he is beautiful? Because if we have, we are not worshiping him as we should. Did you realize that maybe when you come to worship in church, that it's not to feel better in yourself, it is to appreciate the beauty of the Lord, is to dwell on him, to look to him. You know, what happens there is that fears are removed, hopes are affirmed because we're in light. But not only that, we're made free. to follow His will in our lives. We're made free to worship Him. We're made free to meet in the tent of worship, whatever that is for us today. Our faith finds refuge in the close proximity with God, in His house, in near relationship with Him, in fellowship. And we are safe. We're hidden there. We're covered there. All things grant us peace and stillness in our hearts. We will not fear. We will worship. If your heart is troubled today, read this psalm again. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and I want to dwell in a relationship close to Him, that I may gaze on His beauty, faith, and sanctuary. The third thing that comes across is seeking God's face. Verse 7, the psalm writer, David, he says, "Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." So, it's interesting in the Old Testament that this representation of God's face tells us of His goodness. It's just a Hebraic, a term from the Hebrew language which seeks to show us something about the goodness of God. It's a term. His face to shine upon us is His goodness to shine upon us. So, here the psalm writer says, we can approach this God. So we're to approach Him. In our prayers, we can present our burdens and concerns to God. Here the psalm writer says, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. There's 3 points to his prayer. A very short prayer. The first point is, hear. Hear me. God, hear me, please. Hear me. No one seems to know. No one around understands me, but I'm looking to you. Hear my voice when I call, when I cry. The second part is, be merciful. And we're told that God's mercies are new every morning. We're told that God is extensive in mercy. And the third part is, answer me. God's hearing, God's attitude, God's response. Are you crying out to God today? But maybe you haven't seen the example of this. What is the answer of God for the person who cries out to Him? Is there a promise of God for a person who is crying out, hear, hear me, be merciful to me, answer me? Is there something that we can grasp from this text that tells us, yes, the Lord is the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of David, the God of the Christian faith? Is there a promise? Is there something for me today? If I were to call out, cry out to Him today, what is He going to say to me? Seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. He says, seek my face. Seek my goodness. Again, it's a summary term for God, all that God is. What does it tell us? He's gracious. He's good. He's not just a beautiful God. In that beauty, in that holiness, He is merciful and gracious and loving. His anger is turned away. He forgives sin. He forgives wrongdoing. He washes the person clean. He wipes away the tears. He makes someone who is weak strong. He gives hope to a hopeless person. He gives light to a person dwelling in darkness. He leads us forward and upward. And David says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. He will welcome me. In other words, you know, even the closest biological tie, which is with parents, isn't it? What God provides is stronger. Stronger than the closest biological tie. There's another part in the scriptures where it says there is a friend who sticks closer even than a brother. Speaking of Jesus, God will never let anything rob you of his love, of his light, of his mercy, of his salvation. He will never permit it. Not even physical death will interfere or cause a halt. We can seek his face, seek his goodness. Lastly, we got to it. There's a recommendation and an encouragement. Isn't it beautiful how this psalm finishes in verse 13 and 14? I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see the face of the Lord. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is for me now. It's not just a future promise. This is for me now. I can see by faith, he's saying. It's a song of faith. I can see by faith the goodness, the face of the Lord in the land of the living. Therefore, what am I saying to you? What is the psalm writer saying to you today? He's saying, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And just in case you didn't get it, wait for the Lord. Now, this isn't waiting around. This isn't being in a dentist surgery. It's not being stuck in traffic in Aramburu and not moving an inch. It's not being frustrated. The psalm writer is saying it's patience. Patience that is matched up with dependence and trust. He talks about this somewhere else in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord my God. And when we have this reliance on God to rescue us, we can join the psalm writer and say, he lifted me from the fearful pit and the miry clay. You see, there's transformation in faith in God. And so today, whatever your circumstance, why don't you do what the psalm writer suggests? He's testified to you. He's given you a whole testimony in this psalm. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. How does he end it? He says, hey, you, this is for you. You can have the Lord as your light. You can know that transforming power. You can have him as your Savior, your salvation. Be strong. Take heart. Wait on the Lord. And if you're a Christian here today and you've lost sight of that, the same message applies. Time to look back to the light, my friend. Darkness has no hope and no hold on you. Look to the light. Wait for the Lord. Depend on him. Rely on him. Lean on him. Look to him. Be patient in him. In his timing, in his good purposes, he will work out what is right. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Be encouraged. Have courage. And I'm going to ask you the question, will you dare to be courageous today? Will you be courageous enough to turn to God and say, Lord, be my light, be my salvation. There's nothing else. This is the one thing I ask, the one thing I need. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that David wrote that psalm, and it's so encouraging for us to see the testimony of a believer in the Old Testament. Real life, real feelings, real experience. Lord, you are the God who is the same yesterday and forever. We declare today, O Lord God, those of us who have put our hope and trust in the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I will not be afraid. Lord, thank you that you give us hope. We pray that today, as that message is relayed throughout the whole of the world in Christian churches of all types of denominations, that simple and profound message of faith in Jesus Christ is true. And the one thing needful, the one thing I ask, is that I will dwell close to you, knowing you better, and in this life to see your face, to see your goodness in the land of the living, and to know that eternity awaits and promises a glorious experience of joy and peace unmatched, and a freedom from all that would spoil and distort. Lord, you are the light, perfect. You're the light that draws us to yourself. We look to you today. We pray, give us strength, grant us peace and grace in our lives.